Keith, you had a recent article in The Hill, and you talked about four items in particular, four moves that Donald Trump has made. Let's begin by discussing his appointment of U.S. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida as the next Secretary of State. Why do you think that's a particularly good move by the president-elect?
Well, I think Rubio's obviously he's really sharp. He's been in the Senate for a while. He's been involved in foreign affairs. You know, you want experienced people in these jobs, and people have also demonstrated some loyalty. I also think one of the critical things going on that, of course, Joe Biden has completely ignored is this disaster happening in Latin America. You know, Cuba is approaching failed state. They've had their entire electric grid fall down multiple times. As many as 2 million people have fled the island in the last 5 years. You could have a real economic, humanitarian, and security crisis there. And I don't think anyone's paying attention, but I think Rubio is. So I think Rubio and whatever team he has is going to be much better prepared for that problem. You have problems in Nicaragua, which has turned back into a dictatorship with Venezuela. So I think somebody with that area experience really means a lot. So even though people aren't paying attention, you know, it's very important to anticipate these problems. And I think Rubio in state is an anticipation of big problems in Latin America.
And of course, when Senator Rubio resigns, that does create a vacancy in the U.S. Senate, but that also plays to Republican hands, does it not?
Well, yes, because DeSantis can appoint someone right away, so you'll have a Republican there. There'll only be sort of a brief vacancy. And there's a lot of, I think, good Republicans to choose from. I think, you know, Byron Donalds could be very good. There's some good folks with Rubio's cabinet as well. So I think you get a good conservative replacement there in the Senate.
Another area where the president has been very aggressive is when it comes to tariffs, which, Keith, he seems to be using tariffs more as a negotiating tool than anything else. I want to talk a bit about his approach to using tariffs.
I think that's also a smart move on his part. I mean, tariffs are problematic. I mean, they are a tax. And anytime you're levying a tax, that's going to increase prices, that decreases efficiency. And of course, I know some folks in the Trump war where they're saying, well, it's not going to raise prices and that. Well, that's actually the whole point of tariffs. You want to raise the price of imported goods, give your domestic manufacturers some room to compete, especially against unfair competition like China. But I think Trump using it more as a negotiating tool, as an opening gambit, and particularly with Mexico and Canada, because we've got significant problems on our borders with both states, huge problems, obviously, in the southern border, huge problems with drugs coming over. And with Canada, you've got less of a border problem, but they're not paying anything for national security. They're doing nothing on defense. You know, Trudeau's been a complete catastrophe north of the border. I think Trump laying down that gauntlet, because these countries are very dependent on American trade, to try to get them to have better policy and cut better deals, I think that's a good, smart move. You know, tariffs in principle aren't such a great idea. They're not a good deal for consumers. But if it's part of a negotiating strategy, you should need to let that strategy play out. So I think that's a good first shot for Trump on the economic front.
The president-elect has also raised this issue of recess appointments, something that throughout history pops up periodically. Explain what a recess appointment is.
Well, essentially, there are many positions in the federal government that require Senate approval. So the president appoints a Senate, Senate approves, you know, for the cabinet, but also for jobs like FAA administrator and certain undersecretary jobs. There's a whole layer of management that requires Senate approval. One of the problems in the last 20 years or so, maybe 15 years, is these appointments have become a political football. So you've got senators voting against any Republican appointee or a senator voting against any Democratic appointee, when the reality is when you're president and you've won, you have that mandate to form the government. You've won that race. And disapproval of a president's nominee should really be just about their specific qualifications. You shouldn't be relitigating the election because the election's over. Now, in some cases, it makes sense. I don't think Mr. Getz was such a great idea for attorney general. Not qualified, never worked at DOJ, hasn't been an administrator. Fortunately, President-elect Trump pulled him out. And Pam Bondi, who is a terrific attorney general, she really understands how to run these large agencies. She's been a really great replacement. Well, even though there wasn't an official vote, that's actually how the process should work out. If someone's really not qualified, you shuffle them out. But if somebody is qualified, like Bondi should be approved, everyone should vote for her. We know that won't happen, but she is eminently qualified for the job.
So we're taking a look at possibility of some recess appointments here. Is that something that puts the person in a position permanently, or is that just for a limited period of time?
I think there's a limited period. You can't go in there indefinitely, but the president can reappoint you. So you can have this sort of floating appointment, for lack of a better term. That's not ideal. A person should be there in their own right. And I think the public is generally approving of Trump's transition. His personal approvals are higher. So I think it's going to be more difficult than I think the Democrats think to just keep rejecting appointees, especially if someone is clearly qualified.
Another area where Donald Trump has managed to walk a fine line, where very few have, is on the issue of abortion. He doesn't seem to want to make that into one of his major issues here, Keith.
Well, I think Trump's a businessman. He's really always been about the numbers and the economics. That's where he's comfortable. That's where he's focused. And that's where most of the public is focused on. That's where people's primary concerns have always been. So I don't think he wants to be on this abortion issue. And look, it's been a bad issue for Republicans and conservatives on the very sort of most strict pro-life line. It simply does not have national support. The pro-life movement has really got to do a much better job of advocating. They've let public support slip away, and now you're in a position where it's back in the states. I think Trump would like it to just be back in the states, let you fight it out there, and he wants to work on the economy. And if you are very much a pro-life activist, you've got to start convincing people to come to your side.
We have been talking with Keith Naughton of Silent Majority Strategies about his recent article in The Hill. Keith, where can folks find that article and also learn more about you and Silent Majority Strategies?
You can find a little bit about us on silentmajoritystrategies.com. We do regulatory and public affairs. We help people get around all the licensing and regulatory nightmare our government's done for us. And you can read me weekly in The Hill. I'm usually in on Thursdays.
Keith Naughton of Silent Majority Strategies. Keith, thank you for being back with us.
Thanks.